What is going on? Today we got a very special episode. And when I say special, I say that in a crazy sense because I'm sitting in front of a purple rat. And if y'all know what that means, y'all should know who the artist is on the podcast. Today we have Emotional. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. I made myself coffee and I woke up maybe 30, 40 minutes ago. So we're up.
Dude, we are up literally and, you know, all that. So, dude, like I told you before, I've been really excited to do this episode because before me and Emotional was friends, I was familiar with his work. I had seen it, had no clue how he made it. And now that we're friends, I do have a little bit more knowledge of his process and everything. And when I tell you, it's absolutely bonkers, it's crazy. Any word you can think of that's synonymous with wild, that's it. So I'm super happy to dive into, like, you know, what Null does, how he does it, all his creations, what he's currently doing, his history, and so on and so forth. So to get it started, brother, I just want to ask you, when did you actually start doing art? Regardless what the medium was, when did you, like, actually say, man, this is my stuff. Like, I want to start creating.
I'd want to say maybe 14 or 13. My grandma was an art teacher. So I did live with her for about a year or two when I was growing up. And so she used to leave a lot of art supplies just hanging around the house without really like telling me to make anything specific, which I'm definitely very thankful for because I think it influenced me to kind of just do what I want to do. So back in the day, I started with just drawing the comic books that I read, like Evil Ernie and like X-Men and just random shit like that. And then moving forward, I want to say that I got into video editing before music, but video editing and music were pretty close up there together. I started with just like very funny edits videos. And then when I got into music, it was very funny music. And then I got into very emo music, which is pretty funny now compared to my work. But after that, yeah, I got into music. I did music for about a year or so. I want to say I did like maybe 2 open mic shows, which was pretty cool. And then from there, I sort of moved into painting. And I did painting yearly for, or not yearly, daily for about a year or so as well, which ended me up having about 500 paintings total or so. And then now, yeah, I'm doing the 3D VR sort of emotional meta stuff, kind of evolved from there.
No, that's, I'm glad you said a couple of those things. So I write notes down and I do want to say big shout out to the grandma because, I mean, that was,
yes,
that was
big shout out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Big shout out to her. 13, 14, that's still early on in life, you know, kids. So it's crazy to see how far you've come in such a short amount of time. I know your age is now. You're not crazy old or nothing. So to know that, you know, you've only been doing art that long, there's something that I wanted to touch on. Now, you said that you did paintings daily for a year. Now, something that I have learned as Emotional has been my friend is that he has a stockpile of actual physical work. And I think that's absolutely beautiful, amazing. As someone who likes making physical work myself, I was blown away by how many canvases he had rolled up, put in his house. So I want to quickly ask you, like, what made you want to do so many paintings? Like, of course, like, I feel like it wasn't even about the money for you. Like, it never really has been. Things have helped you. But, like, whenever it comes to the paintings, bro, you had so many to where, like, you had to just be cranking them out because you liked to paint. So walk us through, why were you doing paintings every day for a year?
Yeah. So I actually got into painting, when I was probably, yeah, doing music. And it was when I started getting onto Twitter a lot, I kind of found myself diving into what we were calling like art Twitter back in the day. I'd say that's like just the huge art NFT community now, but it was a very sort of siloed thing back in the day. And I'd just seen a lot of cool artists that I sort of watched great alongside. And I'm like, hey, I want to actually try that. And so when I was working like day jobs, I think I was working at a car wash at the time. I started just drawing in like little notebooks at work. And they were just like a lot of faces and a lot of character creatures type things. And it sort of just developed from there. I started painting before NFTs, so it really wasn't about money at all. It was kind of like just something that was very consistent in my life instead of just like the random jobs that I had to work. And it just kind of led into something that more of like a habit than an addiction, as weird as that might sound. It was kind of like just like a journal entry in a sense, maybe a very expensive one since there was a lot of paint and shit, but I think it helped me a lot and helped me be to where I am today as well.
I mean, bro, what you're doing now is pretty crazy. I can't lie. And you're going to have to probably give me some names because I don't know the exact names of like the applications and all the things that you use. But, you know, you went from music to painting. And like you said, now it's like 3D sculpting. And that's how we have Feta. So like, dude, you have a whole world of like characters, especially with the main one being Feta, which is the purple rat. What, like, when did you start creating Feta? Was Feta something you were also painting? Is it like a character you've always had? Like, I'm not gonna lie, I totally forgot before this episode that like we have the whole Feta verse. Like, not only Null as a like an artist, like he has a lot behind him. So I'm actually super excited now. But like, when did Feta start, bro?
I think I drew a lot of like rats and shit and like mouse in my paintings, but it wasn't really like ever defined as like a well-known character. I started really getting into the idea of having like a character, because I would go through like phases of like getting really hyper obsessed with specific artists. So like George Kondo, Ralph Steadman, Basquiat, and a few other ones, but Kaz ended up being one of those as well. And I just really enjoyed like the idea of having like just a well-known sort of thing that you can be kind of consistent with. It started from just like little drawings. I think the easiest way to explain where Feta came from is I wanted a character and I wanted to switch up my mediums into digital. And so if you've ever heard of the book Moss, it's about this dude that sort of was in the Holocaust and sort of shared a story through like a very interesting way, like just rats in this comic book that he created. And so my grandma gave that to me since I'm sort of like Jewish and stuff like that. Just as like, just be like, hey, read this and sort of learn about it. And it always kind of stuck with me. So I've like really been deep into that book a lot. And I wanted to make like just a rat character. So it kind of all combined in that sense.
I actually did not know that. So that's what I was really excited about. Is the fact that I'm going to get to learn more about Feta and you. So now that like brings me to my next question. Why like 3D? Like, why the sculpting? Why the modeling? Like, what made you want to go to that? Is it just something random? You were like, I'm going to try my hand at this? Or was there something that you seen and you were like, damn, I think I'm going to go try my hand at that?
Yeah, I've always been really fascinated with 3D art when I was painting even too. It's just something that is really fascinating to me because I mean, still to this day, don't know how to sculpt like on a 2D screen. And so just seeing people like create things and have like full animations and things like that is like, wow, that's somewhat different than like sitting there painting strokes and figuring things out like that. And so the artist Joy World, you might know about him. He creates a really fascinating sort of universe as well for his characters and everything like that. He was a really cool sort of big inspiration and someone I reached out to very early on when diving into like digital art. Because I mentioned I started with just drawing on the iPad and stuff like that first. I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, this whole 3D modeling stuff is really cool. I really want to try this out, but I can't for the life of me figure out how to sculpt with a fucking mouse and keyboard. he's like, I totally get you. Just try VR sculpting. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean VR sculpting? And he's like, well, you should check out the videos that I share. It's like, hey, I'm here sculpting these characters and things like that in virtual reality. And you can kind of see where I'm doing it. It looks like you're just playing with clay. And so when he told me about that, I obviously started saving up for like a VR headset and stuff like that. I luckily was already doing NFTs at that time, so it didn't take too long to sort of save up. It was just like selling work and things like that. But yeah, I got the VR headset. I started with what they called Tilt Brush, which is more like painterly animated strokes and stuff like that. And then I moved into Gravity Sketch. I did not like Gravity Sketch because it didn't feel like clay. It felt like you're still working with a mouse and keyboard, essentially. And so then I found Adobe Medium, which is what I started using for a while. And it was like the more clay-like animating, sculpting sort of program. And now I'm currently an Adobe Substance modeler for that. But yeah, that's kind of like how it sort of built up.
So I'm blown away. And I have to ask you, because I don't know if you hear it. Am I hearing the sounds of the Fediverse right now? What are those sounds that I'm hearing?
If it's, you might be hearing something being 3D printed, and if you do, I apologize.
Oh, bro, now that you say that, I can 100% like picture that. No, you're absolutely fine. I don't think it should be a problem. I honestly just thought, like, with the background being like space and like looking at Feta in front of me, I'm like, maybe it's just me being in the Fediverse and there's just like machinery around and they're just like doing something. Like,
I also got my window open too, so like might be a bit of construction.
Dude, you're fine. Nobody's gonna be like, for those that know, like the seventh, this is like episode 50 something, but episode 7, which is not up anymore, I had to pull it down for this reason, was Franklin, RIP Franklin in the space. He's not around no more. But Franklin is bored, for those that know, the one with the 59 apes or whatever. He recorded his entire episode with his window open, back door open, and his dad cutting the grass. And when we played it back, there was just no episode. Like, I literally couldn't hear it. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
It was a beautiful thing. So I was like, yeah, you know what? We'll circle back to that. And 2 years later, we never circled back to that. So shout out to him. It's just a funny moment. But so, brother, I want to ask you, you know, you have Feta, you have the purple rat, and it's been something so crazy. You know, I've talked multiple times on this podcast where I think one of the coolest things about art, two things that are so really cool, is whenever someone has their own style, people can look at Keith Haring and be like, oh, that's Keith Haring. People can look at Rene Magritte and be like, oh, that's a Rene piece. And sometimes whenever people can make a character, like you said, a big inspiration was Cause. The baby Milo characters from Bape was like my thing. And I've always been like, damn, I wish I could have a character, a mascot. Like, I wish I could create something. You do a very, very good job of that. Our friend Reddy has done a very good job of that, creating y'all's own characters and just like being able to make this, like, I don't know, this lovable thing. And one thing I really enjoy that you did, I even bought one myself, was you actually made Feta into a plush doll and his pants come off. That's Alpha, for those that don't know. But like, it's so cool that, like, not
that was crazy.
That was crazy that I just released that, huh? But it's nuts that, you know, not only did you create this character, but you then brought it to life into a physical form that is a plush. So everyone go check out Null's website. I don't know if it's still in stock, but if it is, grab one. But I want to ask you, I say all of that to say there's more characters than just Feta. Are there any characters that you could, like, give us off the top of the dome, or how many is there, or how big is the what we call Fediverse?
So that is a hard question. There is a lot of characters. I can definitely give you some off the top of the dome.
Go ahead.
And so we have like Business Frog, which is essentially Crypto Joe. For those who don't know, he helped found Burrito DAO with me and Hamad Amin. And then we have TV Man. TV Man is someone that helps Feta sort of document the universe. So essentially, if you're seeing a render or an animation with Feta in it, TV Man is there recording it. That's like the whole lore behind him. You also have like Benjamin, which is the Burrito Dow sort of mascot character. Punk Rock B, who is owned by Joy World. You have Burger Rabbit. It's just a rabbit that's extremely obsessed with burgers and has a burger machine, which is also another character. Android 444 is like a time control sort of alien. It goes deep like that. It is a Yoki music bot. Last time I counted, I want to say officially there was about 30 to 40 characters. That's without counting the lost characters. For those who don't know, there is like a deep lore of just lost characters in the Fediverse. There's characters that I've made and just never did anything with, never really documented them too well or anything like that. So there is that out there.
Wow. the Fediverse is a lot deeper than what I've known. Not only that, we'll talk about how you can actually go there in a second, but with all these characters, like you said, the word I was looking for earlier was lore. There's a lot of lore whenever it comes to you and it comes to creating. And I think that's, you have to be hands down. I'm not only saying this because he's a friend, but he's hands down one of the most creative people in this space for the simple fact of this man has created a whole world, a whole array of characters. They all have their own like story to them. It's not just like he creates them and they don't have a name or a place. They all have a place. They all have a meaning. They all have like their own self. And big shout out to Joe. Like he said, Business Frog, he will be on the podcast. I said that last episode. So big shout out to him. We'll be learning more about him soon. But it's just crazy. So like I said, you can also technically go to the Fediverse. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very, very different many ways that you can go to the Fediverse.
Can you please talk us through, if not one, the many ways of how we can get there?
Yeah. So when creating the Fediverse, it started with just sort of still renders and sort of modeling and stuff like that. But as I got deeper into like the 3D world, I did sort of discover like the virtual sort of space, the metaverse space that is sort of combined with it. And I think the whole idea of the metaverse became a very silly thing due to marketing and stuff like that. But I think like the deeper layer of it is that there is just like a virtual space for you to hang out and have your own sort of personal identity within that space. Now we kind of already do that with like Twitter and everything like that. And so this is just sort of taking that step forward and giving it like that actual like visual virtual feel to it. So a couple of platforms, some people might even know is like VRChat. That's like a more well-known one. Hyper-Fi is a pretty new one. OnCyber is one that I just started building on recently. Mona, just a ton of different ones. And I'd say that these are really sort of like crypto-based for the most part, besides VRChat. But since I am in like the NFT space, I do enjoy sort of working and trying out these different platforms and sort of sharing my worlds on those platforms so that I am sort of accessible in that way. And it also gives me the abilities to sort of learn about these platforms and then even give them advice from what I've learned from others as well.
Damn, bro. You out here really building and really, really near the cops. Shout out to them.
Yeah, my bad. That sort of fly by there.
No, dude, it's fun. That's the one thing I got to admit that like no one can say that this podcast ain't raw because I mean, I'll let y'all have it all. Like I'm not editing out none of that kind of stuff. Like y'all going to get what y'all get and y'all going to get a good combo and a fun time with
your
it.
Your boy so. Just moved to Brooklyn too, so. It's gonna be a bit loud out there.
Big shout out to Brooklyn. Big shout out to you, bro. I'm glad that you can be doing big things like that. We're not going to get into any personals of where we're at or located, But I know that you just did a great move. So love to see that, brother. And, you know, on talks of everything that you're doing, you do just like the Fediverse, you have Feta, but like, now let's talk about NFTs and Web3. You know, you've put out some work. Do I have your stuff pulled up? Not to mention, I want y'all to also check out emotional.art. That is his website. And, you know, you can learn more about Emotional, the artist. He literally has like frequently asked questions on there. His, you know, his like how to enter the Fediverse virtually, all kinds of stuff. So I definitely want y'all to check that out. But what I was going to say is, what is next for your NFTs? Do you have any drops coming up? Are you doing anything this year? Are you kind of just relaxing? Like, what is your schedule whenever it comes to dropping pieces?
I don't think I really have a schedule. It's really more so just me sort of creating and sharing how I feel. I think if you get sort of caught up in that whole, I can't make this or I have to make this sort of attitude, it can get a bit confusing in this space. And I entered this space in like 2020 when it was very, I would say, a lot more laid back compared to what we have now, where you do kind of have to have like a whole marketing plan if you want to like sell an NFT. But I guess my like long-term vision would be hopefully working towards creating like a more like playable video game for people. But yeah, it's more sort of just word of mouth. but yeah, it's just kind of just on the whim. I did just do an NFT drop called the VHS Room. It did already finish and everything, but I'm thinking about maybe doing a one of one next. So I guess that's kind of alpha. Maybe we'll see something from there.
No, that would be sick, bro. I always love seeing your pieces because I know that you put in a lot of time and a lot of effort into your pieces. And like he was telling the listeners earlier, like y'all got to understand, like he's literally sculpting these like in VR. Like, I don't know. I really encourage y'all I can't say this enough. Like, I really encourage y'all to check out the Twitter because like you can really see, like he's put videos up there multiple times of what he does. And I'm actually about to go into something else. But you can just see like the work in progress and just like see how he does these things. And it really gives you a whole nother like level of respect. And just like, for me, it's a whole nother state of awe because I'm like, damn, like for one, I can't do it. And for two, it don't look easy. So it's hard enough for me to paint squares on a canvas. I can only imagine like virtually sculpting out a character or a whole world. You go see his pieces and you see how crazy he can get with the creativity. And that's why I say I truly feel Emotional is one of the most creative in the space. But I say all that, and this is going to add to that as well. Now, I hope I'm saying this right, or I hope I'm describing it right. Some of your pieces that you release, you use a mocap suit. I think they're called mocap suits. If that's not the name, could you tell us what they are? But for the listeners that don't know what these are, just kind of tell them your process whenever you have to throw this thing on and create a new piece.
Yeah, hell yeah. That is the right name, mocap. Mocap is like a suit that you will put on, commonly more so seen in like, I guess more professional movie sort of virtual production sets. But it's how they sort of animate like 3D characters for like video games and other things like that. Now they have been becoming a bit more accessible, although a bit expensive still, but you are able to get a hold one of yourself. And so it allows you to animate your sort of 3D characters by typically like really just putting on a suit and then actually doing that live while you're in like Blender, for example. So I've even shared a couple of videos where I'm like dancing and stuff like that and like live animating into Blender. But I think it just really speeds up the whole creation process. Because same with like 2D sculpting on the screen. I'm also not a big fan of animating with keyframes and everything like that because it can be very tedious and kind of robotic in my opinion. Obviously, you can get like really good at keyframing, but I decided to go the route of just sort of skipping over that and learning how to mocap and stuff like that. Now, it's not always perfect, so you do have to sometimes go in and adjust stuff, but it is a lot quicker. And then the tech has even gotten a lot better now that you can even record a video of yourself, like doing an animation type style thing, like dancing, upload it, and then have that animation to put on your 3D character and stuff like that. So it's really cool.
Damn. Yeah, that's why I really wanted to talk on it, because, you know, you've brought things to my eyes that, you know, I had never seen. I had seen mocap suits usually, I think, with like 2K, like people being put into that game. But I never thought that they were accessible, never thought that people would be using them to make art. I never seen anyone use them, never even known of someone to even really know what they are. So whenever I saw you using it, it blown me away. And for people that still don't quite understand, it's basically just a full body motion suit. Like it's literally like tracking his motions and he's putting this onto his characters. And like, you can see them whenever he makes artwork sometimes. And it's absolutely crazy to know that bro is at home dancing. And now Feta in the artwork is dancing just like how he was. Like, that's just like mind blowing to me. I think that's crazy. I mean, you know, to go from putting paint on a canvas to doing something like that, I think it's crazy. At least I don't know about y'all, but anyways, yeah.
Whatever. I had a couple of people at like events recently at NFT NYC. They're like, yeah, when I see your dances now, I'm like, I can totally see them from like the animations and stuff. Like, it was pretty funny to hear that a lot.
Dude, it's nuts to know that, like, honestly, anything that you want to do, like, motion-wise, like, you can make Feta do that. Like, and just, like, how dope, like, your Feta is you. Like, to be able to be that involved into the artwork and put yourself that much. And it's, like, literally, whenever people say, oh, yeah, he's putting himself into the artwork, it's, like, a whole new meaning whenever you're like literally putting yourself in the artwork. Okay, so let me stop rambling on about that. I think all of it's super dope, bro, and I really like what you're doing. So whenever you go to your website, you also see 3D printed things, and I've seen that you've been trying your hand. I don't want to say trying your hand in a disrespectful way, but you know, you've been doing a lot of things 3D printed. Are you experimenting with 3D printing? Is this something that you've been trying to do for like more merch? Like, I mean, we can hear the 3D printer behind you running right now. So what is the big plan? Like, are you just cooking stuff up to, you know, have fun, or, you know, just kind of walk us through that, bro.
I really like it because it does give me the ability to sort of like test like toys and stuff that I want to sell. I think I'm only really selling like one thing that I'm 3D printing right now, which is like a little small Feta toy. But I've been making like lighter cases, Nintendo Switch controller things, just a lot of random things that I can give away to friends and people that like my art, as like a little gift. It's more so just fun. I think at some point I would like to do like an official toy drop, and like an actual merch sort of drop like that. But this does allow me to sort of do it like on the whim and just sort of sculpt something, throw it into the printer and see what it's like physically. So it's really cool.
No, I like that a lot. And, you know, you, like I said, you have the plush, you've done some clothing before, which is absolutely sick as fuck. I really hope you do clothing again. And you said you have the Feta toy on there. I do want to mention that you also do have the Feta Big Lighter cases on your site right now. And I can't stress enough, them things looked so sick. Whenever he showed us in the chat, like, I was blown away. And it's something that I do want to like really harp on. It's more than just a black hoodie with white font on there. Like, you get the same stuff. We have NFT projects. I mean, I'll throw shots. I don't give a damn. Call a spade a spade. You know, we have multi-million dollar projects bringing in tons of money, and the only thing you're getting is a damn hoodie or a fanny pack.
Golden hoodie.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're getting fanny packs and socks, and Emotional is literally like by himself printing y'all out, like, literally lighter cases, toys. He has plushies. He has clothing that's not just black with white font. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it gets so tiring. It's so boring, especially if you're some of these companies that have the money to go balls to the wall and create some absurd stuff. Noel is literally blowing y'all out with just like what he has in his pocket. So I guess some of y'all should be taking notes.
If I had those projects, like budgets, trust me, I would be going crazy.
Oh man, I could imagine. Like, not only would we see Feta Plug, we see all the characters. Like, we'd be able to see everybody come to life. Like, it would be absolutely nuts. But I ain't tripping. I know one day we're gonna get there. One day we're gonna see you just, you know, doing your thing and living lavishly. So I can't wait for that day. We're already having fun with this, so I can only imagine where we're going to go from here. I do want to ask you, though, man, like, you've been in the space for a while now. You've been creating for a while now. You're part of Burrito. What's next? Do you have anything planned besides, you know, I know you said that, you know, you just got done with the drop. You might have a 101 coming soon, but in the meantime, are you just chilling and hanging out with friends? You know, what's it like for you nowadays?
Yeah, I think it's really just getting settled into my new place now. I'm working on art, doing a few commission stuff to help pay rent, obviously. And just generally working. I think, I guess my biggest plan without anything majorly laid out is going to be like, a longer animated series to actually explain the Betaverse. Because although I might have like a lot of lore and stuff like that for the Betaverse, I don't necessarily feel it's up to par with how I present that information. Because like a lot of it, you wouldn't even know unless I just sat here and told you and stuff like that. So I think that obviously for me to take like much bigger steps, I need to be better at sort of sharing the backstory to the Fediverse and what it really means and stuff like that. So I think for this year, maybe next year and everything like that is what I'm going to be mainly focused on while still creating pieces and stuff like that and expanding the universe.
I mean, bro, it sounds like you know what you want to do. Like, you know where, I don't want to say where the problem lies, but you know where you want to improve and you know where you want to take this. I mean, you are right. There are some things that I definitely wouldn't have known unless you told me, but that definitely makes me want to ask you now. And I know this is kind of like on the spot, but you say that you want to share these or you want to start doing more to share these. Do you know, as of right now, any ways that you can do that? Or is this something that you're going to have to take some time and like sit back and be like, okay, you know, and think on it? Or are there some things right now where you're like, well, I know for a fact I can do this going forward?
I think it's going to take a lot of trial and error. Maybe a lot of me trying things and seeing what fucks up and what people don't care about. And going forward from there and sort of adjusting. Because yeah, the space and just the internet as a whole is very fast paced. So I can't really sit there and write like a super long blog post because no one's going to really read that to learn about the Fediverse. I need to find ways to sort of do that in more engaging ways. So I think it's really just about me learning about like game design and world building and I guess long term. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot, but I'm ready for it. Been talking with like JD and Joe. And yeah, they definitely agree that I should sort of lay something out. So yeah, I think I have the people behind me. It's more so just me getting my ass into gear and doing it.
I like that. You definitely have the people behind you, bro. I mean, JD, Joe, you know, I got your back. Plenty of people in Burrito got you, and you have a lot of dedicated friends and just, I don't want to say fans, but supporters. Supporters is a better word to say. That just really have your back, man, because you're super genuine and we love seeing your work. And like I said, I know personally because I've seen, but anyone from the outside looking in should be able to tell how much you put into your work. Like I said earlier, you're literally putting yourself into these works, but in another sense, like you are putting so much into these. I mean, you're doing what you can. Like you said, you're literally doing commissions for rent. I know art is like a big thing for you. Is this something that you see like you doing for the rest of your life? And I know that people listening be like, okay, bro, that's like a silly question. Obviously he's going to, but I love hearing it from the artist himself. Like, regardless if it's NFTs come and go, do you want to be an artist for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think my grandma really ingrained that into my brain. It's like, just seeing how she sort of lived her life, really just sort of grabbing everything, like doing photography, doing like IRL sculptures, collage, whatever she can get her hands on, is just being like an artistic and sort of having an artistic life. I really sort of chase after, I guess you could say. It does provide me a lot of happiness. So yeah, maybe not always Feta. Maybe Feta does like evolve into something a lot bigger than just Feta. But yeah, I'll always be creating, I'd say, for sure.
No, and I kind of expected that answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even a kind of. I did expect that answer. I've seen how much you like creating, regardless of what the medium is. I do think that you may evolve over time to something else, but the creation will always be there, and you will always be making something. And I would love to imagine that Feta is always going to be involved some way, shape, form, or fashion. Before jumping over to the five questions, there's two quick that I want to ask you. One, because it just randomly hit me, have you ever yet or thought of introducing any of your grandmother's work into a work of your own, kind of like a collaboration piece or a piece of yours paying homage to a piece of hers? Have you ever thought about doing that, or have you done it yet?
I do have a lot of her old work. I just feel like I don't want to say haven't had the confidence to do it. I feel like I haven't been artistically ready to do it, because I do want to do something crazy with some of the supplies that she left behind. But it has been something I've thought about a couple times. A lot of it is still where I used to live, so I'm going to have to get that shipped out. I kind of moved in a hurry and everything, but yeah, it's definitely something I want to work on at some point. It's a really good question too.
No, that's beautiful, man. I really think whenever you can get really personal and stuff like that, especially whenever, you know, it's a moment like this, I think that, you know, not only do you create mind blowing pieces now, I could only imagine what, you know, you could create. So I'm definitely looking forward to that day whenever it comes. And I just know it's going to be a spectacular piece. Absolutely mind blowing. So before jumping over to the five questions, my final one for you is there anything that, you know, you wish I would have asked you, or is there anything that you wanted to say, but I didn't give you the opportunity to?
I think I like saying in interviews, smoke a lot of weed. Don't take things too serious, and enjoy life while you can. That's a good one. That's about it though.
No, that's a banger. That's a banger. I do stand by the smoking weed part and the other parts. So that is an absolute banger, Noel. I can't even decline that right there. So I'll take it. And moving on to the five questions. These are going to be simple, bro. Answer them however you would like. Personally, Web3, artist-wise, as emotional as Feta, whatever's comfortable with you. Number one, we kind of just like talked around it, but what is your goal in 2023?
Organization.
So I said organization. See, bro, I am terrible.
Organizing.
I'm gonna just say organizing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a better one. Yeah.
That's like a better way for me to put it. So, are we just meaning organizing as a whole, everything in life, or are we talking art specifically?
I'd say in real life too. I feel like since moving, I've started getting my life more in like a more functional manner, instead of sitting in my room in the dark all day. Hanging out with friends, getting out, getting inspiration. And then, yeah, organizing how I sort of represent my art and how to sort of tell people about it in a quick manner and stuff like that.
I like that, man. I like that. In a quick manner. I do always tell people, if you cannot describe to me what you have, what you do, or what you're trying to sell me, I would say in probably 15 seconds to 25 seconds or less, I don't give a damn. Because like, if you can't capture someone's attention so quickly, then come on, man. How are they going to be able to tell it to someone else? You know what I'm saying? It's like, imagine a game of telephone. You know, this person telling the next person. All that shit's going to get lost eventually. So, no, I definitely know that you'll be able to do it. And I'm looking forward to that day. I know number two is going to be a little different. So if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be? And if you would just stay where you're at, just say, I ain't going nowhere.
I have moved where I've always wanted to be. So I'm happy where I'm going right now.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Bro said he is happy where he is. He's not going nowhere. He don't care where it is. He's happy. I like that, bro. I'm not going to lie. After going to New York, I've been to LA. I've been to Miami. You know, Louisville, Kentucky is not that bad. I think I might just stick it out here.
you find your sweet spot, and that's what works best for sure.
Yeah, everybody has a sweet spot. That's a great way to put it. Everyone definitely has a sweet spot, and some is more popular than others, and some are, unfortunately, Louisville, Kentucky. But you know what I'm saying? Number three would be, what is your biggest pet peeve?
I think how, if we're talking Web3 specific,
anything,
I'm going to just make it Web3 specific because I don't really have too many pet peeves, is the way that the space has become about gambling. It has left a sort of sour taste for everybody on the outside. Like telling people I'm an NFT artist isn't the greatest conversation. When it could have been a lot better conversation if it didn't end up with all this sort of gambling and people sort of just speculating on these profile projects and everything. So, I think that has always rubbed me a very wrong way. But, I mean, it's crypto, and it's kind of hard to avoid, so I kind of live with it. But, yeah, that's one for sure.
No, it's definitely a tricky situation. Like you said, like even whenever I tell people like, oh, like, yeah, I have a podcast. And then they ask me like the topic. If I don't say art, like now I'm accustomed to where I'll say art, but there's no fucking shot I can say the word NFTs because they'll either be like, what's that? Or like, I've literally had someone tell me and I shit you not. Oh, I thought it was like something like cool. Or maybe they said like something important. I think they might have said something important. And I was just like, well, damn, bro. Like, what is important then? Like, I mean, it's something.
The general public has like made like a crazy image about NFTs, which I don't blame them. But yeah, for us, like the normal people in it, it does kind of, it's a pain in the ass for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a pain in the ass, especially for people that have, I mean, the outside looking in don't understand like how this has helped multiple people. And I mean, it's like that for many things, but yeah, Web3 is definitely a pain in the ass right now. So I definitely stand by you with your pet peeve. It's definitely a fucking sheesh. Number four would be, what do people misunderstand about you most?
I don't know. I always wonder what people think about me, I guess you could say. I think I want to say I'm a pretty quiet person, but like once you get to know me, I can be like pretty outgoing and stuff. But that's about it.
No, I would agree with you, bro. I didn't get the opportunity to talk to you much before Burrito, but I can say as I've talked to you more and as we've gotten more closer as friends, I've definitely seen you open up and I've seen you open up with others. I can tell like you and Joe have a great relationship. There's other friends that you have great relationships with. And I feel like that's not a bad thing, especially in this space, because you can't be out here trusting everybody. And there's a lot of people in this space you open up to and you're like, damn, you know, you get fucked over. So I definitely don't mind someone that's to themselves, but you're a great dude, bro. I absolutely love you. And it's been so fun. Too. Yeah, it's been so fun seeing you grow. So the last question might be a little rough to answer, but if you won $10 million tomorrow, what would you spend the money on?
Well, fuck it. I'll get the essentials out of the way, obviously. Get the rent paid for a bit. And then I'd swing back around and hook up the homies with some like bought out collections or whatever going on there, whatever art they got for sale. and then maybe, yeah, invest more into my art. It'd be a lot of money. I mean, I always say, like, give me money so I can chill, but it's also like, yeah, it's a lot to think about for sure. But I don't think I would do anything too crazy. Yeah, just secure myself and then, secure my friends and shit, I guess you could say. Maybe buy like a cool spaceship or something.
Dog. this is why I love this, dude. And I do want to say one thing. When it comes to emotional, not only has he been a great friend, but he's a great friend in the sense of you literally just heard his answer. Like, with his money, he would make sure that his friends are good. And he literally told you on the beginning of the episode that he's doing commissions for Rent. So not only, like, of course he's going to take care of himself and make sure he has Rent. He told y'all that. But he's going to make sure his friends are good. He's going to make sure his friends are taken care of. One thing about Noel is every time I've talked to him in chat or every time I've crossed paths with him, he's always been super humble and he's always taken care of his friends. So that's definitely one thing that I've always respected and always noticed from afar, is that anyone in his circle or anyone that he's around, he definitely take cares of. And it's like, if he has two things, you have one and he has the other. So, bro, you know, we're at the end of the episode. I just wanted to give you your flowers and say that you're a hell of an artist. I definitely want to see you shine more. I definitely want to see you post more content, because you really do make some breathtaking stuff. You make some absolutely phenomenal creative stuff that this space needs more of. And it's not just something that's going to come overnight. So I definitely think you're ahead of the game, bro. You're absolutely killing it. And I just want to say, if you have any final words or anything that you want to end on, the floor is all yours, bro. Let us know.
Yeah, I just want to say a big thank you to you. You've been killing it with this whole podcast and sort of sharing artist stories and stuff like that, as well as your work, too, your actual paintings. You've been working on the sort of minimalism piece. I've been enjoying them as well. But yeah, it's just all love to you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I greatly appreciate the kind words. It's been fun doing this podcast and everyone listening in. I greatly thank y'all for allowing me to do this for so long, whether it's one listener, 1,000 listeners. I'm going to do it regardless because it's super fun. But I know that there's people out there that's supporting. And I just want to say from me to you, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Anyone listening, definitely check out Emotional. Check out his website, emotional.art. You can check it out on his Twitter. Every time I post my episodes, of course, the artist, the guest, will be tagged in those. So you can go check them out, go to their profile, see what they're doing, go support. He has pieces. Go buy some stuff, man. Support an artist. Get this man's rent paid ASAP. No, but seriously, he is so dope. And I think we should be supporting people like Emotional in this space, who put their all into their work. So thank you everyone for listening in. This is another amazing episode. Go check out the YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, all of that. I am getting a little slow, but I'm bouncing back on that stuff. I'm trying to put out more content. So you'll see me. I've been doing this for 2 years now. So trust me, I'm not stopping anytime soon. Sometimes I just slow down a little bit, but we're killing it. Thank y'all so much. We have another week of amazing people, and we will see y'all next week again. So love y'all. Peace out, and we'll see you.